to the T,
the number one
queer sound.
Met a woman from a foreign land. She held magic in her hand, and as she blew, five bubbles flew. Make a wish, she said, 'cause dreams come true. I said, love and laughter, joy with pain, to never feel alone again. Safety in a world of war, to be with someone I adore, and conflict with a grain of salt, where it doesn't matter who's at fault. All of this and so much more made up the dreams I wish for. I'm living in a dream. I'm living in a dream.
Hello, world. If you hear the sound of my voice, that means you're listening to Queer to the T, the number one queer sound promoting a community at large. I am at the home base Galay with the one and only
Malcolm Kenyatta
and Terrell Green,
who are here to talk about their work,
You Gotta Eat Dirt Before You Die.
And who's it by?
By Dr. Kamika Williams Witherspoon.
You snuck in that amazing doctor. That's cool. That's
okay. You just throw it in there.
You're a doctor.
Doctor, lawyer, esquire, whatever. Esquire. It's all in there.
Listen, she's going to be an esquire soon, I'm sure. She has every other degree, so just add it in there.
I'm not ready. Not ready for that. So they're going to be talking about that play that is coming up in the second segment. But usually we do hot topics. You guys know we have a routine, and for 3 years we never strayed from the routine. But the world is just so much, like, it's hard. It's so hard to find levity. So we have to create our own levity since the world is not giving us any. So instead of hot topics, we're going to do table topics. And this is good. So we get to learn about our in-house guests a little more.
Yeah, here we go.
What? A lot of crazy stuff. A lot of crazy stuff in here. Some of it's real basic. Some of it's not so basic. But that's okay. I feel like you guys are ready. You can handle it.
Yeah.
You can handle
somewhere
it.
Somewhere between basic and not basic. I'm like in between.
You're in between basic and not basic. You handle it.
Remedial?
Remedial basic?
Yeah.
They don't know.
Well, I'm proficient. So. PSSA every year.
You know,
I can't.
Top percentile.
So we are going to, you know, hopefully not tear up our home base of Galay apart as we sit here and learn table topics. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah. This is exciting.
Who wants to pull a card first?
I'll go first.
Right. Oh, yeah. Any card.
All right. So real.
Digging deep in that pile there.
Ooh. How often do you think about money?
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, because I lived in New York City for 6 years, I don't think about money as my partner. No, you know, I think that money, I believe that blessings meet you right when you need them most. So oftentimes that I want money, it never comes to me.
Oh, true.
That check is always 2 weeks late. Then 2 weeks later, I'm in a way more dire situation when I need it. So I think about money when it comes.
But with a little gospel, when it comes,
Halle,
right there.
Yes.
You know what?
I like it.
Halle
at Galay.
Okay, I tried it. You little Oprah right there. Yes. It's like, yes, I get hope. You get hope.
Yes. So that's when I think about it, when it's there.
When it's there. Are you ready?
Out of sight, out of mind.
All right. Here we go.
I don't know if you're ready. Oh, that is the base card. Okay. Bam! You would.
I got a joker. Okay.
You would.
Okay, here we go.
He would.
So I'm going to make up my own facts now.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Dance the silliest dance you can think of on the table.
You better twerk on this table.
So I have a signature on
the
dance. And it's just
the same.
On the table, though.
Okay. Wait, but why did you
climb on the table?
Saunter with the kneecap. I love it.
Oh my god, this is so fun.
You are beat red.
I mean, so like, it's always like, first of all, it's face. Okay. The dance is mostly
you gotta
face.
Get this.
It's like all here. If you don't have it here, you ain't going to get it. Okay? And then it's shoulders.
Yeah, shoulders.
Okay? The shoulders are really involved. And then I have like really no other movements. I just decide whether I want to bring the shoulders forward. I want to bring the shoulders back.
Debbie Allen would be so proud right now.
She loves it. Debbie Allen loves it. Oh my gosh. See, this is why. This is why it gets real. Okay.
It just got real. I love it. Okay. I love it.
We said we wasn't going to tear anything up in here.
We lied. Yeah. We lied. Are you okay?
We're good. We're good to go.
So all you right. Give it's face, shoulder, shoulder.
Face, shoulder, shoulder. Forward, back.
We're
going
to hold on to those so we don't repeat them, right?
Yes.
Oh, did you get that? Please tell me you got that.
I got that.
Yeah, on film.
I got that on film.
Yes!
Face, shoulder, shoulder.
Back.
Back, forward.
Oh, I know. I'm
ready. Are you ready, Terrell?
I'm ready.
I'm going to go.
Ooh, from the back.
From the back. What's your favorite app? Ooh. Grubhub.
You are too tiny to say Grubhub.
I hate it. He can eat whatever he wants.
Grubhub. It's actually Grubhub and RetailMeNot. I don't know if they have an app, but I use it like it's an app. Because I'm always going Google RetailMeNot. But I use them simultaneously. I'm like, I'm going to Grubhub. Let me see what coupons I got for Grubhub. So they're kind of one to me. So we're going to say RetailMeNot Grubhub. Mm-hmm. Grubhub, RetailMeNot.
Okay.
You cannot. See, he's too skinny for me. He's too skinny for breakfast.
But he, like, eats. He eats.
And mental yoga.
I can't. That's propaganda. That is nothing but propaganda.
Listen, he is doing downward facing pizza slice. I haven't never seen no yoga.
But stretching my brain.
All right, I'm going to go to the edge as well. Another edge. What's the most embarrassing thing you've witnessed outside of me on the table? Okay, so the other day, I'm at a bus stop, and this man, first of all, he was just like, where's the bus? Where's the bus? And I'm like, okay, I'm uncomfortable. You should be. And then this man has a silver bow, but like, with rhinestones and everything, like...
We're not against the jewel and
this is about the bedazzling. It gotta be evenly bedazzled, though.
It was not evenly bedazzled, and it was like clipped onto the smallest ponytail that I've ever seen. Like the bow was really what was holding the ponytail. I was like, sir,
so what's the tea?
Wait, I'll interrupt. Get to the point. How was it? So that was the embarrassing moment?
He should have been embarrassed. I don't know if he was. So, like, I was for him. Like,
so the bedazzled bow.
On, like, your little ponytail that's not a ponytail. Like, I'm embarrassed for you.
So that was
embarrassing. So, like, you're out there listening, and that's what you're doing. If it's don't you, wear. Sir, listening.
Keep listening.
Keep but
wearing a bow.
No. The bow.
That the bow holding
it's,
the ponytail.
It's not all right. It's not okay.
It's just not okay. You're being judged. That's why my iPad is slipping. Whoa, get your life. Stop. See that? They play.
Okay, there you go. Don't play it, Galay. I just want to remind you.
Don't play it, Galay. I say Galay with the Latinos come to play, but they know they won't make that the tagline.
See, you just gotta keep pushing.
I am gonna keep pushing. Keep pushing.
Okay, this one called me.
Uh oh. Right.
Okay.
What does it say?
It says, pick the person next to you, decide one topping to put on a large pizza. So pick the person next to you and decide one topping on a
large pizza. So considering that Malcolm is next to you.
Yeah.
You guys have to decide if you were ordering a pizza.
I already knew.
Pick a topping. But I don't think that's fair because you guys know each other, but we're going to let it slide.
Actually, Malcolm should pick which topic he thinks I would like on a pizza.
Ooh, shallow.
Terrell doesn't want a topping. He just wants cheese pizza.
That was a trick question, exactly.
Cheese technically is a topping.
Thank you.
Cheese is a topping.
There you go. I always personally...
Pepperoni?
Exactly. Yeah. But like, ain't nothing wrong. The pig ain't never hurt me.
Oh.
You know? So I'm like, let's put him on there. Listen, bacon, all of that is welcome in our home. Okay? It's important in our home, actually.
Yeah.
Like, we about to go eat
ham.
Do you
eat meat or you just...
I do eat meat.
Oh, okay, you just not on your pizza.
Just not on my pizza.
Awkward.
No. Only veggies and cheese.
Huh. Yeah. You are a separatist when it comes to pizza.
Yeah.
like, Yes, I am.
Quite
frankly.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. All right. This is so fun.
Someone said the other day, quite Aretha Franklin.
I like that.
Okay. What is your favorite car of the past 3 decades?
Ooh.
Okay, so I know nothing about cars. I'm that kind of gay. So I guess I would say any car that's picking me up.
Yes.
Okay, that's all black. Mm-hmm. You know, so I love Uber. So no. I guess that is my favorite car of the past
few years. You love Uber?
I know that people, you know, are trying to down the taxis and shut Uber down. Listen, if you haven't been a guest on the show, do something so you can be. T just hit me with the Uber. Yes, I love Uber. Yes. Like how can I become a spokesperson? Because I think it's the best thing that ever happened. I used to catch cabs so often. And the customer service level is just despicable.
You're welcome,
it's
Uber.
Despicable.
Yes.
So, Uber, there you have it.
Our community partner.
This is amazing. Nice.
Just hit you with the free $20.
Ooh, I love it.
And it's a black car, right? A black card for a black car. And what? Uber.
I got this for dancing on the table.
Yes.
I'm saying,
yes, okay. You did.
He's like, you ain't never been a guest on the show. You get an Uber. You get an Uber.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. I'm loving it.
And another show.
Oh, that is exactly. I just want you to know you're never going to live that down.
Oh, no. I got the video. Make sure that
honestly, if you see me dance, I won't live it down because it's my actual dance.
But the tongue is normally hanging out.
Right.
Yeah. Today I was a little classy. My man is here. So I had to keep the tongue.
When you're walking down the street and you're trying to be real professional, it's going to roll up on you like shoulder.
Oh, my God. But the problem is, no matter where I am, I'm going to be like, oh, my God.
You can't resist.
I can't resist that. Okay. All right.
We're going to work on your rhythm technique.
Amen.
Are that's you ready?
Yes. Oh, that one got me.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's calling.
Yes. who'd you eat dinner with last night?
That is so not fair.
I ate dinner with Malcolm and our good friend Bianca Davies.
Bianca!
Bianca Davies!
Okay, so also, it's apparent that we kind of know each other.
Yes. who is also our house manager. And it was, we had a busy day last night, so it was a very, it was well-deserved dinner.
Yeah, and it was like still some, you know, Thanksgiving leftover, so we're still there.
Oh, yeah, still there.
But now it's, I think we're done. We're done with all the leftovers.
Still got that mac and cheese.
That's true.
Wait, that means you made a big pot.
I made a pan of mac and cheese the day after Thanksgiving.
Because you're smart.
Malcolm's macaroni and cheese is amazing.
I hear that, and I'm going to let you have that, but no one's mac and cheese is better than my mama's.
And I thought same thing, because my grandmother was in history for mac and cheese.
It was good, too.
And then I had Malcolm's mac and cheese, and I was like, Grandma, I love
how many cheeses? We're going to have this mac and cheese debate right now, live and in charge.
All
how
right, so typically we do...
No, we don't want no secrets. What I'm saying is the cheeses. You're allowed to say your cheeses.
So typically I do 4.
That's it?
But if I'm trying to... No, because these are the secret ingredients that go in there that really make it pop, okay? But typically I do 4, but I will say that if, you know, I'm having a big mac and cheese debate and I really need to throw the thing down, I might add a little ricotta, you know,
just in there
to really... Okay. But I don't do that all the time because ricotta is expensive cheese. So if you're just chilling around your house, like, you don't need the ricotta every day. But if you're about to, like, enter into a contest or something, then you have to bring the ricotta. You gotta do it.
I smell what you're cooking. I'm expecting. Now, you know, because I've been pushing my mama because, you know, I read Oprah's book and she had 8 cheeses. And I said, you know what? That's when you have money to buy cheese. Mm-hmm. So, I can't.
You got 8 different cheeses.
First of all,
see, the government only about 1 kind of cheese.
Right. Like, Oprah, what?
Well, because I work, you know, with the students and stuff like that, the culinary. But even before that, I was a fat kid and I can name 8 cheeses.
Yeah.
Because there's like a million of them, but 8 of them I got.
Right.
But Oprah got Oprah money, so she could go to the store and buy 8 cheeses.
Mm-hmm. So what put Gouda in mine?
I'm an actor. And an educator. So I can't afford 8 cheeses, but what I can afford is 5.5 cheeses.
Where you getting the half cheese?
Hey, because people think that sharp and extra sharp are 2 different cheeses. No. They're not. Okay?
Yes.
They're not. Just because some black people get out of control. They're just not. They're the same cheese.
Like, I like my cheese extra sharp.
Like, I don't want no basic girl cheese, okay? I don't want no fatty cheese.
So you got to whip that sauce up, you know what I'm saying? So I feel you on the ricotta. You know, so my mama, I hooked her up. You know, we used to put a little mm-hmm. bit of blue cheese, a little bit of Munster, a little bit of Gouda. Of course, you gotta have your Swiss, and of course, you gotta have big old yellow. Gotta have the yellow cheese.
I don't like when I see people's mac and cheese and it's like all white. I'm like, what is that?
First of all, like that. That's a lie before God.
Right? That's not right.
You cannot have white mac and cheese.
Hypocrite.
And then second of all, if you decide to put your mac and cheese on wheat noodles, we have problems.
If you're going to eat mac and cheese and like decide to go down that route, then like just understand that it's not going to fit your calorie counting for the day.
Because you're making macaroni and cheese.
It's with 5.5 cheeses. So.
The cheese is in the title.
I'm tweeting that we're having a mac and cheese debate right now. It's true. 5.5 cheeses. It's okay, though. I'm going to get another job so I can have 6.
Excellent.
Okay.
All you need is to add the half. So, smart. You're like, I'm going to get a little part-time
job so I can have 6 cheeses in my mac and cheese.
Seriously, and keep listening to Queer to the T. She might get 7 or 8. She might make Oprah's dad.
Hello.
Okay? No, Oprah. Oprah got Oprah money, but I don't even know
she
what
really
Oprah
does.
Oprah's like, see, you just got to 8 and I'm on 10.
Oprah's like, are we still doing 10?
Yes.
I thought we were at... She's another like, level.
Did Terrell come for me?
No.
did I feel a little palm tree erection?
No, it was Oprah came.
Oprah came for me through you.
Yes. I didn't even know what just happened.
Oprah can pay to do that.
She blocked my memory. She said, you won't remember anything just happened. Let her know this.
Just come for me. Like, I was happy that I could get to 8 cheeses, but Oprah apparently is past 10. But you came for me, Terrell.
But Oprah's like, and you're 8. Be your best 8.
Oprah's always like, be your best. I'm like, if I had what you had, I'd be everything.
Right.
But really, she's very inspirational.
She
and she's doing that talk around that I really wish
I
could.
Well, her Thanksgiving, she had a lot of her students from all-girl school. And
that's good.
And she was cooking.
And I was going to say that. I love that Oprah cooks.
Oprah was cooking.
Anybody feeding Oprah but Oprah.
Right. She lives in Tennessee? No.
No, she's somewhere. Somebody's Flatbush. Listen, nobody feeding Oprah but Oprah. I love her tour. I love the concept of her tour. But Oprah, I need for you and your people at Harpo to get it together and stop asking people to work for free. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
When you have Oprah money, you should be paying folks to work. I'm just saying.
You're right.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that what you're doing is not inspirational and influential. But what I'm saying is stop having people work for free on the Oprah tour.
Right. Say they work for Oprah. And Tyler Perry, pay your writers.
Word? I'm sorry. I can't pay the plumber in exposure. I'm like, thank you for fixing my toilet. I'm going to tell a friend.
They were like, come here and see what he's doing.
I'm just keeping it all. When you are of that, you got it. Unfortunately for you,
Oprah, Tyler, I just want to say during this conversation, I ain't say nothing. I work for exposure and cheese. Okay? Like, I work for all the cheese.
You want to tweet that? You will work for cheese and exposure.
I will. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
I'm still on 3. Okay. I'm trying to get to
half. You know what? You still on 3 cheeses and 2 of them the same cheese. Imagine.
2 months.
I did. I went there.
There you go.
You ready?
Oh, here we go. Gosh. I'm going to stick to the edges.
Because
some people need edges. So, this is for them.
That's too much.
Read the last text message from your parents out loud.
And this tells a lot about people because some people don't even text their parents.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
Honor thy mother, thy father. You'll get the pig. It just says, read the last one.
Okay, let's see. So my mom is not the most... My mom loves to call, so I'm going to have to find a message. What was it? It was probably about Thanksgiving.
It was probably about Thanksgiving.
Okay, so it was yes. So that's I didn't get your new email address.
Your mother's?
I'm trying to go back to things she said before because yes isn't that deep. Need the new email. Make sure you put egg in your cornbread.
That's true. You gotta put egg in the cornbread.
So there you go. My mom's like, tell me how to use this email right now. Because, like, I don't know what's going on.
What's your new email?
I'm like, Mama had the same email. She's like, I don't got it. What's your new email? And I'm like, well, it's the same, but I'll get it to you again.
I feel like I have to meet your mother because that's crazy.
Yeah. She's hilarious.
I need your new email. It's my old one. You just never used it.
But, all right.
You just never used it. Okay. What do you love about the opposite sex? Which is great.
I love the thought, the stutter, the thought. Great.
What I love about, I think, does it have to be like a physical?
No, it's just, what do you love about the other two? See, you trying to put limitations on questions.
Yeah, no limits. take the limits off. I think women have strength. And like, I know that sounds cliche, but I was raised in a house. I was the only, my father and I were the only men in my, me, my father, and my uncle are the only men in, really in our family. My cousin, yeah, he came around a little later, but we were around women. And I, you know, I was always like, y'all need to calm down, but y'all got so much strength.
like chill out.
Like, you know, there's never been a problem that between my mother, my sister, my grandmother, and my aunts, I haven't been able to bring to them. And they're like, oh, yeah. Handled.
Like
handled.
Olivia
Pope.
It's handled.
It's handled.
No, for real. No, I mean, I think you're right. A woman, regardless of, you know, whether she got a white jacket or not, women be getting stuff done. But my favorite thing about women, if I can just jump in, is women are always secretly hiding money.
Yeah.
They'd be like, I am totally broke. But if it really comes down to it, they'd be like, move that left shoe, jiggle the heel three times, and somebody going to fall out. I'm like, all right, you ain't really broke.
And they're like, I had this money since I was 15. And you're like, what?
Okay. All right.
No, but.
T, like, listen, don't move this chair twice. Somebody might fall out.
Because you gotta be prepared. And I think it's because when you're being raised, women, you gotta admit, are raised differently than men. And now women are being raised, you know, you have to make sure that you can live a life without a man. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure that you are just prepared for you.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, some high heels are for wearing and some high heels are for storing.
Yeah, and that's, that's
for the winter.
Right, and not going to tangent here, but really when I got in college, my best friend, she really brought to light as an entertainer the menstruation cycle for women. And it really opened up my eyes as a man, because I was like, I'm walking through this planet like, oh, hey, how you doing today? Great, I'm doing great. And like, she's like, no, I'm doing awful. Like, she literally says to me one time, someone is stabbing my uterus.
Yeah, it's true.
And, yeah, and I was like, and I never understood it until like she broke it down on an artistic level, how it sometimes hinders her work mentally, physically. And I'm like, the strength. It goes like, really, because I know I could never handle that. I get a pimple and I'm like, oh my God, Malcolm, do you think I should go to Hahnemann?
And I'm like, listen, don't go to Hahnemann. What are you doing? Okay.
You skipped your alma mater to go to UPenn. That's real. That's real. You went there. It's real.
Listen, it's real. I'm going to go where they're going to figure out what's wrong with me. This is great positions at all those places, but go to Penn.
No, like, bleeding is real, you know, but it. Because we have to be able to separate mind from body. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have to concede to your body. And your mind's like, but we got shit to do.
Yeah.
And your body's like, 7 days. 7 days.
Tony Braxton.
Isn't it 7 whole days? Not a word.
I would never think of the song the same again.
7 whole nights.
Love you, Tony.
Yeah.
Tony, if you're listening.
I love some Tony Braxton. What?
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready? This is our last round.
Here we are.
Here we go.
That's okay. This one's ready.
In the middle.
Read the last text message from your partner.
Ooh!
Let's see. What did T text me?
Not T, 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 T.
The other T.
Because I'm a caller as well. I will pick up the phone and just call. Michael knows that about me. And he always says, you and my mom. Y'all just call.
Like, just text me. Get to your point.
Okay. Lord, I pray for us to get and be on one accord today and learn divine wisdom.
Amen.
Hashtag amen.
Yeah.
What? Look at that. Damn.
Yeah.
I love that.
And before that, it's what if we didn't get a fence?
What if we didn't get a fence?
So this is like the range of things that we speak about.
Okay.
Listen, we go from God to fences.
Listen,
that sounds
like a good play.
I can't. Okay. Do it. Make the magic.
That's the one.
Take it.
Okay. Where's the sexiest place you've had intercourse?
You would.
Where's the sexiest place I've had intercourse? Has to be on a street in London. Sorry.
Get it.
You can go to London.
You can go to London. Yeah. Recreate today.
I'm going back. Look, I got to answer the question.
Listen, I ain't mad at you. Amen. Yes, and the rain washed all away.
The London rain. London fog had a new meaning.
Listen, I didn't know you. You was in London. I was in Illinois. So we was chilling.
You know what? Chicken bang. And on that note, we're going to take a break. And we're going to be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. For our halftime listeners, you're listening to Queer to the T, the number one queer sound promoting a community at large. You can find us on Twitter at Queer to the T. You can find us on Facebook at Queer to the T. And you can find us on Instagram at Queer to the T. You can listen to past episodes at queertothet.blogspot.com. You can listen to past episodes of Queer to the T out and about and purely proud at prradioonline.blogspot.com. And we are still in the house with
Malcolm Kenyatta
and Terrell Green.
And the house, of course, being Galay, one of our home bases, which I'm trying to convince them that their new tagline should be Galay, where the Latinos come to play. Come on, subliminal messaging, subliminal messaging. Love me, love the phrase, and I accept all royalties. Okay.
That's pretty over. I think it's pretty...
Just, you know, just get to them slowly but surely. And Malcolm and Terrell, they are co-directors of...
You Gotta Eat Dirt Before You Die. And that, Dr. Kamika Williams Witherspoon.
And that is an interesting title. Mm-hmm. Explain to the world, because, you know, we got listeners from... Nice. And that was my symbol for all around the world. Mm-hmm. Why this play? Why this? Why be co-directors? What?
Well, when Malcolm and I first read this play, it deals with a lot of issues. Primarily, we wanted to platform on the disease that's in the play, which is HIV, well, in this particular play, AIDS, and cancer. I mean, there's two people who are dying in this play. But within that, there's also a family structure that isn't crumbling, but it's being remolded. Mm-hmm. And I think that was... the thing that spoke to us, I know personally, we were reading it, and as gay black men, we had the experience of one of the characters who was shunned because of his sexuality and his choices in life. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have the exact experience, but we were able to find so many parallels that we said, we need to tell this story. And then when the story is over and the curtain comes up, we need to walk out and let people see that these two gay black boys made this social event, you know? And so that was the driving force for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that really alarmed me, and I think both of us, is when we started looking at what was really happening in Philadelphia specifically, but this is a worldwide issue. I really call it the scourge of HIV and AIDS. But I think that because of a lot of the progress that we've made, there's now even a pill that you can get if you feel like you've been pre-exposed.
I've heard about that. Yeah, yeah.
That you could take. So I think that with some of those things, we don't have the laborious cocktails anymore. Mm-hmm. It comes down to one pill, you know, and people really aren't. People in the 80s were just, and we had a panel this morning talking about some of these very issues, and it was just great for us to hear from some of the leaders of the LGBT movement talk about what was happening.
I mean, leaders in the 1980s.
Yeah, we had Mark Siegel, who's the founder and publisher of the Philadelphia Gay News, and he was one of the leading people behind the Stonewall Riots and ACT UP and all these different things. Glenn Knapp, who was the executive producing director of... He worked with ACT UP, and he was he was one of the people who really helped... Larry Kushner craft Angels in America.
Okay, Tony, yeah.
Tony Kushner, excuse me.
You mixed up Larry.
It'll come back to me. But there's he did Normal Heart. Larry, I forgot his last name. Mm-hmm. But anyway, a lot of these big pieces. We also had Sherry Cohn, an LGBT activist there, and Lois Moses, an artist and activist.
Yes, Lois.
But what all those people instead, it really reminded us of what was happening in the 80s. And people were just dropping, like, flies, to use, you know, maybe not the best,
yeah,
the best metaphor. But people were dying. And they talked about, Sherry specifically, she had a really moving story that I remember, talked about she was going to funerals almost every other day. Well, For people.
If I may interject, you know, enough, because y'all, you know, just to piggyback off that, I had a teacher who taught me Shakespeare, John Basil, who at the time was studying at Temple's grad program, and then later was directing between New York and Philadelphia, and he would say that, you know, you would cast someone, you would have, you know, your first 2 weeks of rehearsal, they would get sick, and you would never see them again. Your friends would get, you know, you'd be done to play with your friend would get sick, you would never see them again. And this was happening not just to the gay community, but like the theater community, you know, community. But yeah, sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine. And you've told me that story before. And I think that what all those stories exemplify is that our generation specifically, yeah, we know some of the remnants of a lot of these fights, whether it's civil rights, HIV, AIDS, all these different things, interracial relationships. We talk about all these things in the play. Our generation, I think it's easy for us to kind of forget these things.
Oh, very easy.
Done for us.
Forget what was done for us, yeah. But also forget the real fight that still needs to happen right now. Philadelphia, as an example, the rates of new infections, first of all, majority of people who are being infected are people between the ages of 18 and 24. Mm-hmm. And the majority of those are black men. And a majority of those people, A, don't even know they're infected. And B, don't know how many people in our community, in our city, are being infected with this disease. So for me, and I think for Terrell as well, I was tired of being a bystander. Mm-hmm. I was tired of waiting for somebody else to come fix this problem or to re-engage our community in this important conversation. Yeah. So we said, we have this piece of art. We have this piece of theater. We both come from arts background. I'm really a performance poet by trade, but gotten to do a lot of theater. Terrell, you know, has been doing theater forever. And we said, how do we do these plays or we perform? Or
I'm not.
You're still looking good. You're still looking good.
He's 100.
100 and a half. Okay.
CJ Walker talk.
But we said, you know, we do these performances of these plays and people are fired up and they're ready to go and they're feeling something. And then there's nothing for them to do with that. Mm-hmm. So we partner with all these amazing organizations and every single playbill, they can get all this information. Mm-hmm. There's going to be free testing available on site from the Mazzoni Center
to
give people something to do right in that moment. So I really believe that art changes lives. But in this instance, art is going to save lives, literally.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, you know, you can turn on the television and I feel like, you know, since about 2011, maybe a little earlier than that, turn on television, it's just this fad of you see gay men on television, gay shows, and gay culture, but I was still stuck on not seeing me on television.
Right.
You know? Because it went from just eliminating the gay. At first, I was seeing all these, you know, young, beautiful, you know, no offense, white people on television who were smart. And I said, before identifying as gay, well, I'm a young, smart black guy. There was no one like me on television.
Right.
You know, and so when
a
I
funny
really,
friend.
Right. And then when I really did, you know, really became comfortable within myself and really owned all the titles that people wanted to give me, I took it even further and said, there's definitely not anyone on television like me, right. You know. And you could turn on True Blood to see Lafayette, I guess.
Lafayette is amazing.
He's an amazing actor.
Okay.
You know, but at the end of the day, I'm like, well, what's your story?
Lafayette has a story, but not.
But it's also still a stereotypical portrayal of what people think black gay men are.
Exactly.
And that's the other thing, this show, I'm sorry to cut you off a little bit, but the show also talks about masculinity and what that means in the black gay community.
Because I read an article, you know, it goes back to, especially for black men, it goes back to the auction block.
Woo, doesn't
it? No, even further than that, it goes back to when you were being captured from your kingdom and you were a king and your whole town, the whole village and community who saw you as a king now is watching you be captured, you know, and then you had to be forced to make a child for it to be taken away from you. Mm-hmm. So I think the idea of what, and I actually thought about this from viewing my own father and just watching him have this, what I call the struggles of being a black man, you know, and they really exist, you know. So I was so, I spent so much of my teenage years so confused about who I was as Terrell, as a black man, you know, so, and then just not even as a black man, as a man, you know, because I grew up and I was told I was a sissy because I didn't pick up a ball.
Lies.
You know, and then I went to theater and I was told, oh my God, you're a great leading man. We love you. So I'm like, who am I? You know, like, really? And it wasn't until I was outside of America, actually. And I was,
but won't it do it?
And I was studying overseas and I woke up one day and I was like, well, I am a man. I'm a black man and I have to tell my story because my story is someone else's story. So, yeah.
And I think that people are going to come to this show. I love to say that, like, yeah, we have focused on a lot of these elements and all those elements are there and all those conversations will be had. But if you have a family, you know, if you've ever had a family and had any interactions
or
with them,
relationship of any
kind, right? Like, you are going to be able to relate to this. And that's what I love about the script and what Kamiko was able to do is this is really a family experiencing what it means to be a family. And obviously they have these very specific things that we're highlighting, these very specific elements, but it is really at its core, I think, a story about family. And I said a little earlier on another media appearance that we had that, you know, if you want to, you know, bring your family and then be like, hey, mom, I'm a lot like Jefferson. And that's your way to come out, then that's fine. Okay, come do it.
So before you get into your thought process, can you tell the world, like, give us a synopsis of the show and why the playwright, who's unfortunately not able to be here today, chose the title You Can't Eat Dirt Before You Die?
Yeah, You Gotta Eat Dirt Before You Die is just a saying that it was a saying that I actually was aware of.
I was aware of too.
But there's a lot of people that we've been talking to who's like, what? I've never heard that.
It sounds
that. Like,
Southern-ish.
Yeah, so it really is. But what it says is you're going to go through some stuff through life, and it's kind of dealing with that realization. The play itself really focuses on this guy named Jeffrey and his relationships and his family. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey's lover, Nick, is dying of HIV/AIDS. Still at that time, it was just called it. It wasn't really called anything at the time. There was no name for it. He was just dying, but, like, we know what it is.
I think the actual name came
It was called Grit.
Well, first it was called gay cancer.
Yeah.
But
the term AIDS
came out first.
And the term HIV did not come out to early to mid-90s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it used to be called GRITS. Oh. It was gay-related immune deficiency syndrome.
And so you have his lover dealing with that.
Simultaneously,
yeah. His mother is dying from this really aggressive kidney cancer.
That's real.
And, you know,
I think it's colon to liver.
Oh, colon to liver, excuse me.
The kid and kaboom.
Exactly. You know, it's really about how that family traverses all these different struggles and challenges, and it is just such a real story. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like. This is not a fairy tale or anything like that. It is a real story, and you see a real family be a family, and that's what I love about it.
And I think it's, I really view it as external conflicts affecting internal situations, you know, because I think another title could be like in your own backyard. You know what I mean? Because it's one of those things like you don't know how to deal with something until it's in your own backyard. You know, and I think Dr. Kamiko did here with You Gotta Eat Dirt Before You Die is, I know as directors, we've been able to take that word dirt and make it so many things, you know, and so many things that we have to just take as humans, you know, in everyday life. And keep on going. You know, Arthur Miller writes about the little tragedies of life. When your alarm clock does not go off, that's a mini tragedy. Keep going, you know?
Yes.
You keep going. And I think that's what you see at the end is that there's this, one of the family members, a brother, Jeffrey's brother, Sammy, is homophobic. But then you see that it's just a lot of, by the end of it, there's a lot of conversations that they didn't know how to have. You know, so the show does culminate into this huge spectacle, but in my idea now, I'm seeing it as the conversation happening. And I think that's Dr. Mika said when we had a conversation with her that she wrote this play. This play is about being able to say goodbye. And not to go back to Oprah, but Oprah said one time, saying goodbye does not mean giving up on someone.
No.
You know?
It doesn't.
It does not mean that. You know? It means that right now we got to say goodbye to this. You know? And we have to atone and move forward. And I think that's what the end is, really. You know? The end is you really see a true relationship would pan. A true friendship, true brothership, true siblingship would, you know, all that stuff would pan out in a situation like this. I think she really caught that realness. Yeah.
And was she commissioned to write this play for you guys, or you guys stumbled across it? How did this
community come together? So actually, I was an AD on another play that Kamika was producing. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I have this play, and I really want you to play the main character. And I was like, Kamika, I don't know. But I got an opportunity to read it. And once I read it, I was like, Kamika, I just want you to give me the play. Like, just give it to me. And she did. So so that's where we are now. And it's been a labor of love. There's no other way
to describe it. This was her. She wrote this play in graduate school, while she was in graduate school.
Yeah, for playwriting.
So it's been a minute. Because, yeah. You know, Mama Mika has been...
And this is the first play that she
wrote after her mother's death.
Yeah, but she has solely given it to us to produce and direct.
Yeah, this is her first play that she's written that she wasn't involved with creatively. Exactly how Tara was saying. So that's a big honor for us.
She's great.
Yeah. So it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a true honor.
Clutched pearls, because you know, Dr. Kamika Williams Witherspoon is
a legend. Okay.
It's Dr. Kamika Williams Witherspoon.
That wise, you have to always impart. You know, like, that's what I'm realizing. Yeah.
Just, but are we at that time where it's happening? We're allowed to see that. I'm just, it's a moment. It's happening. It's real. Wait, what? She's not acting in it. She's not.
But, you know, she gave us great feedback and
that's
a great understanding of what the story meant. And what it meant to her, but you know, we have huge shoes to not necessarily to fill, but huge shoes to walk across that stage and to really tell her story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think another topic that we don't really talk about a lot, because it is such a huge conversation talking about HIV and AIDS and cancer, mm-hmm. Is that we as a creative team worked very closely with Kamika of switching Jeffrey's lover from being a black man to a white man.
Oh, so y'all just flipped script and I love it. Okay.
We wanted to bring that story.
I'm with it.
We wanted to bring...
To have the other conversation about interracial relationships. Yeah. Because, you know, we think we're past that, but we're not. We're not.
We're not.
I know just from being a gay black man that the mentalities that exist... It's just...
I love how you said mentalities. We're going to let that... That's a real word, or you just made that up?
I just made that up. That exist are not like...
That's the cabbage patch.
They're not respectful of one another. And I think that's like the moment I met Malcolm, you know, because I was on Around the World in 80 Days track, and Malcolm stopped me in my tracks, you know, like, because I met someone and I said, wow, you have given me... Everyone deserves respect, but people often don't give you the reason to respect them.
True.
You know? But Malcolm gave me the why. You know, like, without even saying you have to respect me. It was like, we were able to have open conversation about not what I was wearing or not what we wanted to go do later, but, like, about problems that we thought were really facing gay men and what we thought we could do.
Yeah.
To add a little sugar, spice. I'm not going to use sugar.
Yeah, sugar.
You know, enough sugars already, I guess. Add a little more, you know, little cayenne pepper to the sugar.
I like it.
Yeah, and
The half to the cheese.
Okay.
And I really love that.
Let's go play together.
Yeah, half to the cheese.
That, you know, as a gay black man, I mean, the other thing, you know, because there's so much in here that you really can't get at all. But the other thing, being a black man in a very religious background. Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey, we don't talk too much about it because Jeffrey definitely grows up in America, but his mother has a Caribbean background, which adds another layer terms of how they view homosexuality and all those different things. And I just remember, and Terrell alluded to it a little bit as a teen, and having that, being from a religious background, having those moments where you really look in the mirror and you're like, I hate myself because I'm gay. Should I be this? All these different things. And what I think is so moving is that some little black boy or black girl or white boy or white girl who is gay or questioning or whatever, they're going to get to come to a production and see a little bit of themselves on stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And be able to touch it and feel it and leave that space. Terrell says something really cool that I really love. If you do your job really well as an actor, you're going to be in that person's head.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have a line from a movie, that line, I can recall so many lines right now, that person's in my head forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're going to touch some kid's life who is going to see, because Jeffrey, that character, has a whole transformation. At the end of the play, he's like, listen, I'm gay. Okay?
Right.
Like, and y'all need to understand that. And I think that that is going to be powerful for some little kid or some teen, somebody questioning to come see.
And I think it's very important to go back to, it lets gay men know, hey, you are important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think, and I am going to be very, I guess, inclusive here, because I know for myself, growing up and being told who I am and what mm-hmm. I like is shameful.
Yeah.
It makes me not hold value to myself. So I'm going to go out into this world, not necessarily saying I did this, but I'm saying, if you think about it psychologically, if you do not hold value for yourself, you do not treat yourself as if you're valuable. You not
right.
do let valuable things in. So that means that you may be going out and having, you know, 10, 12, 11 different partners. And if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. Wrap it up, you know. But if you don't love yourself, if you don't value your life.
Did he hit the wrap it up?
Yes. You know, but if you don't wrap, if you don't, I'm sorry.
If you don't wrap it up.
You don't value your life.
Right, but you just went straight Black Mama on that.
You know?
I had to acknowledge, yeah. like, just wrap it up.
You know, because the thing is, though, but if you are living in a society, if you're living in a, I'm not even going to say society. If you are, I'm going to go back to the home. If you're living in a home where your mom and dad are constantly telling you that you are less than
mm-hmm.
because of what you like, mm-hmm. you know, that they have no influence in choosing, you know. You're going to grow up and you're going to exhibit those that same behavior in relationships that you
yeah.
have. And that is why I think we have these high numbers of HIV and AIDS, because people aren't protecting themselves. People aren't having safe sex, you know, because the conversations aren't happening at home to say, hey,
right.
I don't agree with what you're doing. Hey, okay, I don't agree with what you're doing, but I need you to stay alive.
Alive, right.
Because you are important,
yeah.
you know, and I need you to fill your head with a little bit more education so that you know that you are important. Because it wasn't until I was in England studying Shakespeare and I had non-Americans telling me, you are one of the best actors I've ever been around, that I was actually able to say, oh my God.
And that's like one of the weirdest things where you have to, it's unfortunate that you have to leave home to be appreciated.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't have to leave home
yeah.
to know that you are of worth.
Right.
You should know mm-hmm. that you are of worth because you exist.
Right. And the thing is that, and then the other thing is these conversations. I think the journey that we've taken is good in a way that the conversations now can be had very
mm-hmm.
openly, but I don't think that they are happening in the place they need to necessarily
mm-hmm.
be heard.
So this sounds like a type of piece that it is family. There might be some things that make people uncomfortable,
oh,
but
yeah.
it's something that a family should definitely come
is,
to
yeah.
and you know,
start
it's powerful, because sometimes it is tough to sit down with a family member and have these conversations
yeah.
and have this dialogue. So this is like an
yeah.
easy way where you guys can, you know, go get a meal,
mm-hmm.
You know, with one, you know, with one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
I love that. Well
okay.
done.
With one of our sponsors, PYT,
mm-hmm.
In the Piazza. And then go see a show and get to have that conversation. I mean, I think my mom has, you know, definitely come leaps and bounds in understanding who I am and who I love and the whole bit. But at the same time, doing this play and this production and telling her the stuff that I'm doing, I'm sure Terrell has similar experiences with his families. It has caused us to have different sort of conversations
mm-hmm.
that maybe we wouldn't have been able to broach any other type of way. And that is the power of theater.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you have Galea and other organizations that are targeting their communities and saying, what can we do to affect our community?
Right.
And we think that this is something that is going to affect our community in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
And really use theater to slide in all these
mm-hmm.
other messages that people are afraid
to sliding in. I really don't.
I don't think it's
so. I think we are saying the, you know, and that's why we were so, like, we have a group from the Addict Youth coming. See that bag over there?
That's my bag.
We have a group coming
mm-hmm.
From that, and we were very.
Which group?
I don't know the five youngsters who are coming. I was working with Alyssa and Jay from, like, Elaine. We're still trying to work relationships and making sure that we get the youth out there, because
mm-hmm.
I know, because I teach playwriting in schools,
mm-hmm.
the person that, oh, I love movies, and it's like, if you love movies, if you actually went and saw a play, your mind would be blown.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to make a car right now. We're just going to do it with human bodies, you know,
right.
like, which is even more amazing, you know.
Uta.
But Uta.
Uta.
Respect for acting. But yeah, I think we were very important. Very like, we need to get youth groups out here. Mm-hmm. We need everybody to get out here. Yeah. You know, but like really, because I know for my thing is like, I know at 16, 17 that if I had went to see a play, and two young black guys came out and told their story as young gay men, and this story, I know that would have left an impression upon me.
Right.
You know, like, and even if I saw a play and I didn't necessarily say, this play isn't for me, I'm still like, it's amazing that this was able to happen. You know?
And this is a good segue to happen, because I think we get so caught up in like the interweb and we think everybody knows everything. And they don't.
Yeah.
Because it's at their fingertips, they have no idea it exists. Which is sad but true. So you spoke about sliding things in earlier.
This is the PR master.
Sliding things in. Tell us of course you guys are part of the brain children behind this project, but who else is helping you, get this thing off its feet and giving it legs?
Wonderful.
Well, the first thing we have to do when you talk about who got this off the ground, it was 64 individuals who decided that they were going to go on our Indiegogo page and fund this project. And we raised over $2,000 to do this show. In addition to putting our own money and blood and sweat.
People gave $1 to $100, $500. You know,
okay. It really was just people saying, hey, like, I value what you're doing. I think this is amazing. So that is really, really inspiring for us. And then we went and we did all the casting, and the team of people that we've been able to put together. You have Zahora McGill, who is the founder of
First World Theater.
You guys are in a play together right now. Okay, and like, Zahora, you're in a play with her. Amazing, Barrymore nominated.
Yeah. Trained with Uta Hagen.
Uta Hagen World Theater
Award.
She
actually directed me. And the reason of course, we know it's Herman Gill because we're in the theater scene in Philly, but she was my director when I was a child. Mm-hmm. She would direct me, so it's kind of this full circle thing now to, like, be directing
her.
Her in, like, a play written by my mentor. And it's like, wait, we're having all these
moments.
Exactly. And then you have the wonderful Tiffany Bacon.
T. Bacon?
Who's also, another, you guys
we were in a show together.
Yeah. In the show together, you both are, doing the radio thing as well. And then we have Caleb Funk, who just graduated from Rider University and just got back to Philadelphia, and it was so crazy. He said he had just got back when he saw our Postal Theater Alliance, and it worked out so well. And then Joseph Cartenga, who's another local actor, who, also came in and just jumped on board. Not to mention the wonderful producing crew, from our house manager, Bianca Davies, to our assistant stage manager, John Henry, to our stage manager, Seamus Millard, to our light and sound guy, Nelson Moon, and to just all the individuals, whether it was just a, hey, I believe in you guys, or a Facebook like or a post, whatever it was, those people really made this happen, and we're so blessed to have been in the Inquirer here in the city, WURD,
you were in PGN
103.9, Philadelphia Gay News, and now Queer to the T, not to mention some other outlets. So the response has been overwhelming in the best way possible. But we've put our blood, sweat, and tears into this, and I'm really confident in the story that we're telling and the team that we have supporting them.
It's a big team.
Yeah.
Big team. And I know you mentioned some sponsors. Who are your sponsors?
Oh my gosh, the list for the sponsors goes on and on. We had a panel today because we didn't just want to have a play. We really wanted to be able to dive into these topics. So we had a panel today, and some of that was taped, and I'll get that to you and maybe get out to your listeners if you want. So for the panel, that was sponsored by the Temple University's Paley Library, the Art Sanctuary, and Philadelphia Gay News. And then for the show itself, that's sponsored in part by Temple University's Department of Student Affairs, as well as PYT, Bar and Burger Joint in Northern Liberties here, home of America's Craziest Burger.
Not to
mention the Mazzoni Center, who has also stepped up to help us. We have, and the list really goes on and on. Of folks that have bought ads. We have some good friends of ours, Dual Nature's Designs, who brought some ads. So it has just been a whole list of people who have stepped up. And, you know, and not, again, not to mention the 68 people who dug into their own pocket, you know, and said, I'm going to help you guys do this. So it's been amazing.
On that note, we're going to take a break and we're going to be right back. Are back and we are wrapping it up with
Malcolm Kenyatta,
Terrell Green here,
who are the co-directors of
You Gotta Eat Dirt Before You Die by Dr. Kamika Williams Witherspoon.
Yes, so we heard a little about what's going on in the play, kind of knew, like, telling it but not telling it all, because we still want them to come to the show and be mystified by the show and what's going on, and of course the activism that's attached to it. So let the world know, of course, the title again, when it's happening, where it's happening, how they can find out more about it, ticket prices, and all that kind of stuff.
So the show is You Gotta Eat Dirt Before You Die. It opens this Thursday, and it runs until this Sunday, December 7th. So that's December 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. That is next Thursday through Saturday. This coming Thursday through Saturday, it's going to be at the Adrian Theater, which is on 20th and Sansom Street here in Philadelphia. You can find us on, you can find ticket information on Eventbrite. So if you go to eventbrite.com, you can search Eat Dirt Play. Mm-hmm. Or you can search the title, You Gotta Eat Dirt Before You Die. Again, that's on Eventbrite. We have some student discounts. Our Facebook, which is facebook.com/eatdirtplay.
In our, really, I would just say check out the Facebook. A lot of stuff goes there. Like, that really has become,
we're trying to get 500 likes.
Yeah, we're like 400 and something or another. But that really has become the little hub. And it has been a community, you know, of people liking our stuff and sharing it and talking about it with their friends.
And if you don't remember anything I just said, you go to your friend Google.
Google.
And type in Eat Dirt Play.
And you, it's going to pop up.
It's going to pop up.
Yeah. I love it. The smile in tandem is what sells everything for me.
So, and the nod. I'm a
nod. And they whisper. They're like the whisperers.
So, like, we're so cute.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's, yeah. The acting group is like, what are they talking about? And Jana was like, they always whisper.
That they always whisper. So if you see them in the audience, they're not talking about you, they're whispering. Well, they may be, but they're just whispering anyway.
We're figuring out the next, well, actually, we do the have next show. Yeah,
we have a next show in April. At it is,
we're trying to come off the hills of Women History Month.
Exactly. And in April, we're going to be doing a show. It's called Love, a Shakespeariment. And we're really going to be looking at, you know, a whole variety of women's issues, but specifically portrayals of women in Shakespeare. So what we're doing right now is looking at all of Shakespeare's work, and Terrell is now crafting a new show based off of that
conceptualized work. Shakespeare piece. It really focuses around sex trafficking, homelessness, and drug addiction, abuse, and manipulation. With, I think, women, you know, studying that relationship.
So it's going to be really, really good. And folks that come to the show will have an email list and everything there for you to sign up and really become a part of this theater activist thing that we're doing.
Because, you know, a part of the word activism is being active. Mm-hmm. And a huge part of it is we can build the play for you, but it takes your activeness, you know, to meet our activism and really make a change. So you're just as much a part of this creative process as we are.
And that's what people love to hear nowadays. They don't just want to be like the placeholder in the seat. They want to know that they know someone in the cast, but they know about the mission and they were helping you get it on its feet so they can feel like, this is mine too.
This
is mine too. Like, this is my play. Like,
right. It's their play. Yeah. And I also just, you know, just to go back for a bit, it's just such a universal story. Again, we talk about all these things that are zoned in. But again, if you've ever had another human relationship, like, you're going to find something.
I believe when we say the word community, we are not just saying gay, black men. We're saying community as in that we are the people that live in this world, and we make up one universal community. Mm-hmm. So it is something for our community because we live in this present day world and we deal with these present day issues. Mm-hmm. So it's for everyone.
But we also just want to say we're so grateful to be here with you
today, yes. TS. Thank you, TS. Queer to the
Teen. This is actually my second time on Queer to the Teen.
I know.
My
first
came with Kamika before. So
when we were back in the day when we were babies.
TS does it all, I just want to say.
She really does.
I wish I could talk about how we first
met. We've had like so many tangented conversations that, but it's been
amazing. We've always met under great circumstances.
Which is good.
Yeah, it was good.
It's how it should be.
Exactly.
I was like, yeah, you were on when we were babies. We were babies in the radio game. And now we're not so many, but we're toddlers now because it's year three.
Nice.
But we're moving on up.
There you
moving
go.
On up. So it's great to have you back on.
Yeah, thank you
thank
so
you
much.
Thank you
so first
much.
Time.
I love being around you.
Thank you so much. And again, go on eventbrite.com or Dirt Google Right. and look
Eat
up
Dirt.
Eat Dirt Play. Or, you know, just show up at the Adrian on any of those days, December 4th through 7th.
Yes.
Because we accept credit cards at the door and cash. But I ain't trusting your check. I'm sorry.
And every day we're having a 7 p.m. show, except on Saturday and Sunday we're having a 2 p.m.
show
and a 7 p.m.
Ooh, Saturday and Sunday is a doubleheader.
Doubleheader.
Boom, boom.
So
back
the
to
4th
back.
Is the at 7 o'clock. The 5th is at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. The 6th is at 2 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And the 7th is at 2 and
you
7.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hallelujah. So, yes, like they said, you can Google, you gotta eat dirt before you die,
yes.
Or follow Facebook, Eat Dirt Play.
Yep,
exactly.
The three words you probably loved as a child.
I know, like, eat dirt play. This is so true. Yeah. When you think about it, when you break it down to the elementary of it, it's kind of great. Well,
exactly,
done.
Yeah.
Well done. Good marketing.
Dr. Kamika is very smart.
Good marketing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Queer to the T, the number one queer sound, promoting a community at large. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Queer to the Tee, the number one queer sound.
Met a woman from a foreign land. She held magic in her hand, and as she blew, five bubbles flew. Make a wish, she said, 'cause dreams come true. I said, love and laughter, joy with pain, to never feel alone again. Safety in a world of war, to be with someone I adore, and conflict with a grain of salt, where it doesn't matter who's at fault. All of this and so much more made up the dreams I wish for. I'm living in a dream. I'm living in a dream.